Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from The Voice of America. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy. This program is aimed at English learners, so we speak a little slower and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
Today on the program, you will hear stories from Anna Mateo, Mario Ritter, Susan Shand, and Brian Lynn. But first, this report.
Luyanda Mdanda is someone who likes to be busy. The 19-year-old South African led a very active life long before becoming an international student in the United States. Born in Johannesburg, he enjoys outdoor activities such as playing a game of golf and surfing. But Mdanda says he never thought his life could be as busy as it has been since coming to the University of California, San Diego in 2016. The University of California, San Diego, or UCSD for short, was established in 1960. It is about a two-hour drive south of Los Angeles on the California coast. The school is a public research university and currently serves over 36,000 students. UCSD is well known for its research programs. Several researchers, professors, and former students have been recognized for their work. They have won major awards, including the National Medal of Science, the Fields Medal, and the Nobel Prize. And that is why Mdanda wanted to earn his undergraduate degree at UCSD. He learned of the school through a State Department program called Education USA.
Mdanda chose to study cognitive science, which combines different subjects, such as computer science, psychology, and social science. He knows that, by choosing this study program, he is required to learn many different skills. But he feels it is the best way of solving the world's biggest problems.
I really believe through the power of programming, through the power of understanding how the mind works, through the power of understanding how social sciences works, we're able to create solutions for underrepresented communities in the world and provide them with the resources they need.
However, getting the chance to work on these sorts of problems was not easy, Mdanda recalls. UCSD does not provide him with financial aid. So he has asked several South African companies to donate money to help pay for his college education. It also means he has had to work very hard on his own.
That's really pushed me to seeking internship opportunities, seeking campus jobs, seeking other opportunities to find people who are willing to support me. And I think if it wasn't for that challenge, I wouldn't have to necessarily push myself as hard as I have in the past.
Mdanda has worked three jobs since starting classes at UCSD. But luckily for him, these jobs have involved work he finds interesting. The school is home to the San Diego Supercomputer Center, which houses very large, very powerful processors. And Mdanda was able to get a position in the center as an undergraduate researcher. Many of the world's top technology companies operate their own supercomputers. Last summer, Mdanda put what he learned in his research position to use by getting a paid internship at the Microsoft Corporation. And he will be returning to the company for another internship this summer.
But it is at yet another job that Mdanda truly seems to shine. In 2017, he became a resident assistant, or RA for short. At most U.S. colleges and universities, many students live on campus in school-operated student housing. In exchange for a free place to stay, students chosen as RAs act as a representative of the school in the student housing. They make sure students follow rules and have a safe and welcoming environment to live in. RAs also can act as a guide to other students, something which Mdanda says he loves doing. He personally is involved in several student organizations, including a group that helps students develop business ideas. And so he loves helping others, telling them all about campus life and the groups in which they can be involved. That way, they can get the most out of their time at UCSD, he adds. Getting the most out of life is exactly what brought 32-year-old Alessia Altinbaeva to UCSD. Altinbaeva is from Nizhnev-Artovsk in eastern Russia. She earned her undergraduate degree at the opposite end of the country. She received her degree from the St. Petersburg State Chemical Pharmaceutical Academy in 2011. Yet Altinbaeva knew she would have to travel even further to learn and experience everything she felt the world had to offer her. So she began looking for schools where she could earn a graduate degree in business administration. California's many technology companies and mild weather led her to decide to continue her education overseas. She began attending UCSD in 2017. UCSD's Rady School of Management chose Altinbaeva for a fellowship, meaning the school agreed to pay the full cost of her education. So unlike Luyanda Mdanda, she does not have to be as concerned about money and has more free time.
But from the beginning, she says, she had to face a different kind of issue, having many more things to do than she has time for.
The university gives you so many nice opportunities. They organize different social events as well as workshops where you can learn something more in addition to your program. So for me, it was a challenge to find time for each activities that I really enjoyed and stay on track with my MBA program.
It has taken Altinbaeva time, but she says that she has been able to organize her time better. She says the important thing has been to decide which activities are the most helpful for her education and career and which are the most fun. Then she can decide the best uses of her time. Altinbaeva really likes the activities that relate to her field of study. For example, she has helped organize a student group called the Design Innovation Club, which is interested in design-based thinking. Also, she says she loves San Diego's warm weather, much more than the cold weather of the part of Russia called Siberia, where she grew up. So, like many UCSD students, she spends much of her free time doing outdoor activities, like swimming. Both Alessia Altinbaeva and Luyanda Mdanda agree that, in the end, it does not really matter what one's interests are. For them, life as an international student in the United States means always having something worth doing. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.
Now, the VOA Learning English Program, Words and Their Stories. Each week, we take a close look at words and expressions commonly used in American English. But let's be honest. Language is not fair. Some words are just more beautiful than others. Take the word moist, for example. moist was recently named one of the ugliest words in the English language. The word sounds dirty. Some words sound beautiful but have ugly meanings. Take, for example, the word malevolent. It may sound pleasant to the ear, but it means having or showing a desire to cause harm to another person. On the other hand, there are words such as serendipity. Serendipity sounds beautiful and is fun to say. The adjective form of the word is even more fun to say, serendipitous. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary website defines serendipity as luck that takes the form of finding valuable or pleasant things that are not looked for. So, serendipity is a happy accident. It comes from being in the right place at the right time. For example, let's say you have a single friend who is perfectly happy living the life of a bachelor. He does not want to be in a relationship. One day, on his way to work, he jumps onto the wrong train. There, he meets the perfect woman for him, and they marry a short time later. It was pure serendipity. Not only was he not looking for a relationship when he found one, he also wasn't supposed to be on that train. The history of the word serendipity is also interesting. The Encyclopedia Britannica website explains that serendip is an ancient name for Sri Lanka, the island nation once called Ceylon. Word historians believe that serendip comes from Arabic. They say the word was first used in the Arabic language more than 1,500 years ago. Some experts believe that Arab traders began using it after coming in contact with people from South Asia. The first recorded use of the English word serendipity can be found in the letters of an 18th century English writer named Horace Walpole. Merriam-Webster's online dictionary says that in the 1700s, Walpole used the word in a letter to his friend, also named Horace, Horace Mann. In the mid-1700s, while researching a coat of arms, Walpole discovered something interesting but unrelated to his search. In a letter to his friend Mann, he wrote, "This discovery indeed is almost of that kind which I call serendipity, a very expressive word." He goes on to write that explaining the origin of serendipity would be easier than defining it. Walpole says he made the word after reading a Persian story called The Three Princes of Serendip. The heroes in this story, he writes, were always making discoveries by accidents of things they were not looking for. The website adds that Walpole's memory of the story may not have been correct, but that memory did give serendipity the meaning that we know today. Now, let's hear two friends use the word serendipity.
Jeff, long time no see.
Hi, Josephine. What a coincidence. I was just talking about you last night. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about you? Still working in the finance world?
No, I left my job in finance.
Really? What made you decide to do that?
Actually, it's a funny story. Last year, my friend invited me to a party in his neighborhood. I wasn't going to go, but at the last minute, I said, why not? So I went, and the party was okay, but there were lots of kids. At one point, the younger kids started acting up, so to settle them down, I sang some songs. Well, one parent really liked them.
What does this have to do with your finance job?
I'm getting to that. As it turns out, that parent produces children's music. She invited me to her recording studio And the next day, I signed a 3-year contract.
What an amazing story of serendipity.
That is the best way to describe it. Serendipitous. I didn't plan on quitting my banking job, but fate had other plans for me.
And that's Words and Their Stories. I'm Anna Mateo.
A group of students who survived the deadly shooting in Parkland, Florida, announced a bus tour to support new gun laws. About 24 of the students from Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School made the announcement on Monday. The event came one day after several in the group graduated from high school. The tour is to begin June 15th in the Midwestern city of Chicago. The students say their goal is to register more young people to vote so they will support reforms to U.S. gun laws. Cameron Caskey is one of the high school students involved. He noted that 4 million young Americans will turn 18 years old in 2018. If every single one of those people votes, encourages their friends to vote, makes sure their family is getting to the polls, we can make real change in this country, he said. 18 is the minimum age for voting in the United States. The student organizers wore a message on T-shirts made for the event. The words, Road to Change, were printed on them. Parkland students and activists Emma Gonzalez and David Hogg also attended the event. The students said the tour will target districts where elected officials have received a lot of money from the National Rifle Association. The group, based in Northern Virginia, represents gun owners and candidates who oppose restrictions on gun ownership. The tour is the most recent event in a youth movement against gun violence. The movement developed after student Nicholas Cruz killed 17 people with a gun at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Broward County, Florida, on February 14th. In the months following the shooting, many students from the high school have taken part in demonstrations and gatherings. They have gone to Florida's capital, Tallahassee, and Washington, D.C. On its website, the group says it will visit 20 states on its tour. They also say they will visit every congressional district in Florida. The group says it is paying for its tour through donations. The related March for Our Lives campaign has received financial support from popular television and movie personalities such as Oprah Winfrey and George Clooney. I'm Mario Ritter.
When presidents, royalty, or celebrities visit Singapore, they often receive a specially grown orchid, the national flower of the city-state, named after them. Barack and Michelle Obama, Chinese President Xi Jinping, and Nelson Mandela all have multicolored orchids in their names. Botanists and others want to know if Singapore will extend its orchid diplomacy to U.S. President Donald Trump and North Korean leader Kim Jong-un when they arrive on the island for Tuesday's historic talks. Nicholas Fang is with the research group Singapore Institute of International Affairs. He said Singapore might do it as a sign of goodwill and friendship. Fang said, "This kind of soft diplomacy is something that is uniquely Singaporean." He said that it is possible the two leaders may lend their names to a single orchid. The special orchids live in the Singapore Botanic Gardens. It is the only tropical botanical garden on the World Heritage List kept by the United Nations Cultural Agency, UNESCO. The gardens are near the special area where the summit will take place. The June 12th meeting will start a discussion on ending North Korea's nuclear weapons program. In return, North Korea hopes to gain diplomatic and economic recognition from the West. An agreement could also bring peace to the Korean Peninsula. Singapore has not yet made public any plans to present orchids to either leader. NParks is the agency that operates the gardens. It says orchid diplomacy plays an important role in building bilateral ties. It said last year that more than 200 orchids have been named after important visitors. Both Kim Jong-un's father, Kim Jong-il, and his grandfather, Kim Il-sung, have flowers named for them. They are called Kim Jong-ilia and Kim Il-sungia. They are cultivated at a center in the North Korean capital, Pyongyang, that opened in 2002. But the current leader is not known to have a flower named for him. The latest orchid named in Singapore was the Dendrobium Narendra Modi, marking an official visit by the Indian Prime Minister this month. Members of the British royal family have several, with the most recent named for Prince Charles and his wife Camilla in 2017. Even British popular music singer Elton John has his own. When Singapore names an orchid after a foreign leader, it is usually a hybrid orchid, said one of the employees at Woon Len Nursery in Singapore. And a hybrid orchid is difficult to make. It takes at least 5 years. This is why it has become something rare and unique. I'm Susan Shand.
The United States Space Agency says its Mars exploration vehicle has discovered chemical substances necessary for life. Scientists reported that NASA's Curiosity rover found large amounts of organic molecules in 3.5 billion-year-old rock in an area called Gale Crater. The area on Mars is believed to have once contained a large lake. The discovery of organic molecules suggests that ancient conditions on Mars may have supported life. Ashwin Vasavada is a scientist working on the Curiosity project at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Pasadena, California. He said the chances of being able to find signs of ancient life with future missions, if life was in fact present, just went up Jennifer Eigenbrode is an astrobiologist with NASA's Goddard Space Flight Center in Maryland. She said there are three possible ways the organic material was created. The first one would be life, which we don't know about. The second would be meteorites. And the last one is geological processes, meaning the rock-forming processes themselves, she said. NASA announced that Curiosity also discovered sharp seasonal increases in methane gas in the Martian atmosphere. This could also support the case for life. 95% of the methane gas found in Earth's atmosphere is produced by biological activity. Methane can come from animal and plant life, as well as the environment. However, researchers said it is too early to know if the methane on Mars is related to life. This is because the gas, just like organic molecules, can also be formed by geological processes. Eigenbrode believes the latest discoveries give scientists a good reason to keep looking. I think that we need to give the search for life on Mars due diligence, she said. We need to go to places that we think are the most likely places to find it. NASA's latest findings were announced during a press conference last week and also released in the publication Science. Also last week, NASA Administrator James Bridenstine met with reporters to discuss the agency's goals. He said there will likely be major changes related to the International Space Station program. President Donald Trump's recent budget requests for 2019 have called for ending space station funding by 2025. The U.S. government estimated it has spent more than $75 billion on building and supporting the International Space Station. After the Space Shuttle program ended in 2011, the U.S. has paid Russia to transport its astronauts to the space station. The first piece of the International Space Station was launched in 1998 and was completely finished in 2011. It has been used to collect information and carry out many experiments. Bridenstine said NASA is already in talks with private companies about possibly taking over the space station after 2025. But he added that any changes would have to be agreed to by the other 21 nations involved in the project. But no matter what happens with the space station, the NASA chief said the U.S. remains committed to keep sending astronauts into space for many years to come. There are kids graduating from high school this month that their entire lives we've had an astronaut in space, Bridenstine said. And we want that to live on in perpetuity. Forever. I'm Brian Lynn.
And that's our program for today. Listen again tomorrow to learn English through stories from around the world. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Dorothy Gundy.